Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and this is the Sunday Roundup. Sophie Ridge began the day by interviewing Boris Johnson, the man who many are expecting to be the next Prime Minister. The interview began with a look at Johnson's spending proposals if he makes it into number 10.
So you want to put more money into schools?
I do.
You want to put more money into transport in the north? You want to roll out full fibre broadband to every house in the country? You want to put 20,000 more police on the streets? And you also want to cut taxes? I mean, come on. That's having a cake and eating it, isn't it?
Well, actually, of course, as the great Tunisian scholar and sage Ibn Khaldun pointed out as early as the 14th century, there are plenty of taxes that you can cut which will actually increase your revenues. And there are ways of making sure that you stimulate growth, you stimulate enterprise, and you get more in. But what is certainly true is, at the moment, Sophie, there is cash available. And we're going to make sure...
Where's that cash available, then?
There's headroom of about 22, 25 billion at the moment. And you
but
remember...
That varies, doesn't it, every month? I mean, there's headroom because of when people pay taxes and all that kind of thing, isn't there? It varies. There's deficit
That's
in other
right,
months.
But there's definitely headroom. And if you look at the February alone, the Chancellor's revenues exceeded his expenditures by 14.5 billion.
That's because that's when people tend to pay tax. If you look at different months, then actually you're in deficit.
Well, there is cash now available.
Are you prepared to see borrowing go up?
If it's borrowing to finance great infrastructure projects.
And, great John McDonnell of you.
And there's the opportunity to borrow at low rates, to do long things for the long-term benefit of the country, then we should do them. But overall, we will keep fiscal responsibility and keep going with the general trajectory of ensuring that this country pays its way and lives within its means. But you can do that with some sensible tax cuts that will stimulate growth, stimulate enterprise, get more revenue in.
What tax cuts
also,
are you talking about
also,
there?
Also use the headroom we've currently got to spend on things that I think are really important.
Ridge also asked Johnson about the case of Nazanin Zaghari Radcliffe, the British-Iranian woman who is currently imprisoned in Iran on charges of espionage. Johnson's comments that she had been teaching journalists were used against her during her trial.
I feel sorry for her, for her daughter, for her husband, Richard, and I've said this many, many times.
I feel
a deep sense of anguish for what she has been going through.
Do you feel a sense of responsibility?
But when it comes to responsibility for what she is suffering, I think it is incredibly important that we in the UK do not unwittingly give aid and succour to the people who are really, responsible, to use your word, Sophie, the people who are really responsible, which is not the Foreign Office, not the former Foreign Secretary, and no one in London is responsible for incarcerating Nazanin Zaghari Radcliffe. The people who are responsible are the Iranian Revolutionary Guard.
Can I come in, please?
And anything you do to exculpate them is, I think, a great shame.
Because I find that slightly offensive, that you are saying that anything you do to exculpate Iran... Oh, of course Iran are responsible.
Oh, well, that's good.
Of course they are responsible.
Well,
I'm going to go to the words of Richard Radcliffe then, her husband.
Yeah.
He says that your words have had very traumatic consequences for her. It was used to justify the second court case. It didn't cause a second court case, but it was used to justify it and has been used to discredit her ever since. I mean, is this the kind of thing you think about...
Of course, and I do feel a deep sense of anguish about it, as I've said. And I've apologised, I think, several times, in the House of Commons and elsewhere. But it is very, very important that in this conversation we don't allow whatever I may have said or done to cloud the issue, which is that the people incarcerating Nazanin and others are Qasem Soleimani and the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Quds Force, and they are doing it illegally, they're doing it inhumanely, and they should release her and others.
Andrew Marr spoke to Johnson's rival Jeremy Hunt. Like Johnson, Hunt is committed to leaving the EU without a deal if the situation demands it. Marr questioned whether Hunt was prepared to go through with this threat.
You were talking about going to a company in Kidderminster with 350 employees, doing very, very well in European markets, and you talked about the devastating effect that 10% tariffs would have on that company. Now, if you go through no deal, every person in that company will lose their jobs. You were, as you famously said again and again and again, an entrepreneur. You've built up a business. Lots and lots of people who have built up their businesses around the country, including the guy behind that business, will lose their companies if you take us through no deal. Are you really prepared to do that? Are you prepared to look those people in the eye and say, you've got to lose your job because I'm going for no deal?
I would do so, but I would do it with a heavy heart, because precisely because of the risks. But you know, if you choose someone who has got a better chance of negotiating a deal, then you're not going to have to face that decision.
How would you feel if your company was in that position? If you'd built up your company and a politician came along and said, I'm sorry, I'm going to destroy your company because of I've got an ideological reason why I have to do that.
Well, what I would say to the people in that company, is that you know, I go around the world as foreign secretary, and I find that people have a whole lot more respect for us than we sometimes have for ourselves. And the heart of that respect is that we are one of the oldest and greatest democracies in the world. And we are a country where politicians do what the people tell them to do. So if, in order to do what the people tell us to do, we have to leave without a deal, I would do that, but I would find support for those companies to help them weather the storms. As a businessman, I know that's not going to be easy, but I will be there for them. But in the end, if we don't do what the people tell us to do, we're not a democracy, and I don't think even those businesses would want me to ignore what people have told us to do.
Hunt also told Marv the value he placed on the integrity of the United Kingdom.
I was up in Scotland last week and everybody was very, very interested in your answer when you were asked, in the end, Brexit or the Union, which comes first? And you said the Union every time. Almost every Scottish Conservative I've spoken to or heard from on this believes that a no-deal Brexit would be a real threat to the Union and could end Great Britain. David Mundell, who's the Scottish Secretary at the moment, has said, called no-deal a threat to the continuance of the United Kingdom. That is a very, very strong feeling in Scotland, and yet, as our potential Prime Minister, that's where you're prepared to take us. So how can you say that the Union comes first?
Andrew, I have Welsh blood in me, Irish blood in me. I spent a couple of very happy years of my childhood in Scotland. I am a unionist to my fingertips, and I will never allow our union to be broken up. And what people
unless delivering Brexit means a no deal, in which case you will.
No, because what David Mundell said is right, that of course there are risks. You think what someone like Nicola Sturgeon would do politically if we had a no-deal situation. Mm-hmm. And we would have to get through that. And that is why a no-deal Brexit is not my first choice. But in the end, if the only way to leave the European Union is without a deal... Let me finish, Andrew. Yeah. If the only way to leave the European Union is without a deal, then I would do that. And we will make a success of it and we will protect the Union. But we would have to be very sensitive to the concerns that people like David Mundell raised, because you're absolutely right, it would not be popular in Scotland.
I don't understand how it can both be the Union first every time and being prepared to endanger that by going for a no-deal Brexit. Those two things must be in contradiction.
No, because it's not a question of choosing one or the other.
Well,
It's a question of choosing a Prime Minister who has the capability to deliver both. And if you send to Brussels someone who can negotiate a deal that can get through Parliament, then you won't have a no-deal situation and then you reduce those risks. But I'm also very clear that we are going to leave the European Union come what may, and I will deliver that. But if that happens, I will do it in a way that protects the Union, because it's absolutely vital we do.
The Shadow Chancellor, John McDonnell, told Ridge of his plans to help secure a greener economy for the future.
We've got to have a just transition from a fossil fuel economy to a net zero carbon economy as soon as we possibly
can. And do you effectively trust the state to do this and not business?
No, both. It's got to be both.
But you're talking about delisting companies. That doesn't sound like...
No, let me go through it. What we've got to do is have state resources that will invest in the economy alongside private sector resources that will invest in the economy as well. So we're looking at how do we coordinate that. What we've suggested is a sustainable investment board that brings together the Treasury, the Bank of England, the business department as well, alongside the private sector, in both in terms of businesses themselves and trade unions. We develop our investment programme and we ensure that we use our what powers each of us have got to divert and direct that investment into policies and investments that will tackle climate change, but also If there are companies that aren't fulfilling their environmental responsibilities, that are undermining everything that we do, putting our planet at risk, there has to be some sanctions as well, and that's regulation.
Some people would say that this is government interference rather than regulation.
Well, government has to intervene in a climate emergency. If we don't act now, and if we allow, well, if we allow some of these companies that are developing policies that are undermining our very future, our existence, we'll never be forgiven.
And finally, the Liberal Democrat leadership contender Jo Swinson has proved herself to be just as optimistic about her party's chances at the next election as her rival Sir Ed Davey.
And I wonder how far you would go if you are elected leader of the Lib Dems when it comes to working with others at a national level. If there is an election, which many think is going to happen by the end of the year, potentially, the Lib Dems could do quite well. You could be kingmakers. Would you be happy to do deals with the Labour Party, with the Conservative Party?
Well, first of all, Sophie, I would just say we could be better than kingmakers. I mean, there was a poll out yesterday that said that we could actually, in one scenario, win that election
so
with 30% of the vote.
Genuinely, you think there's a chance that you could be in number 10 if you lead the Lib Dems?
Yes. I think our politics is volatile at the moment. I think predictions are a bit of a mug's game in politics because so many things...
How many seats do you have now?
We have 12 MPs at the moment.
And you think you could win the next election?
I do not put any limit on our ambitions for the Liberal Democrats because our country needs a Liberal alternative.
That's all for this week. I'm Isabel Hardman, and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffeehouse Shots podcast on the iTunes store, and we also have a special offer. You can subscribe to The Spectator for 12 weeks for just £12, and you'll receive a free Amazon voucher worth £20. Just go to spectator.co.uk/voucher. And if you enjoyed this podcast, do subscribe to our daily Evening Blend email. It's a free roundup of all the political news each day, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. Just go to spectator.co.uk/eveningblend. Thanks for listening, and do join us again next week.